Hey, good morning, everybody. Hey, good morning, Shelly. She's the only one that said good morning, so I had to respond. I hope everybody had a fantastic Thanksgiving. I know Thanksgiving's always fun in church because it's like, you know, where'd everybody go? But it's good because I hope everybody's experiencing a good time with their family. Not so much with your in-laws, but with your family. No, I'm just kidding. It's always bittersweet. It's always bittersweet, right? So today we're actually wrapping up our series called Appropriate. And so for the last few weeks, we've been talking about what's appropriate, but kind of with a spin on just because technology is so prevalent and because, you know, and that's not a bad thing. That can be a good thing or a bad thing. But it also opens a lot of doors, a lot of potential pitfalls and problems that maybe you'll have to face. So the idea, the whole premise of the series is just to make sure that what you look at is appropriate, right? So that's kind of what we've talked about the last few weeks. The last 2 weeks, we've had a panel of some of the most intelligent people on the face of the earth. And it's kind of fun because then it's always great to hear new voices. It's great to hear different perspectives. And probably more than anything for you guys, it's probably just good to hear anybody other than me, right? Thank you for not saying anything. Well played. Well played. So anyway, I want to say last week, especially Brittany and Keelan, I always do that to you. Brittany and Ryan did a fantastic, Kristen, of course you did too, but you always do a good job. It was their first time speaking in front of everybody and they did a terrific job. So thank you guys for sharing. Yeah. Do you know how hard it is to get up and share like some of your struggles and your experiences and like the stuff that you've dealt with in life? It's not an easy thing, so it took a lot of courage for them to do that, so we appreciate you guys sharing with us. This week, what we're going to talk about, being Thanksgiving and all, is we're going to talk about how important it is to appreciate what is appropriate. And if you're clever, you'll appreciate, appreciate what is appropriate, right? That was a bad drum roll and everything. So we're just going to appreciate what is appropriate. And I think, and here's the deal, we kind of started this whole series off with talking about making a covenant with our eyes and kind of not just saying, okay, I'm gonna be pure. I'm not going to look at things that I shouldn't look at, but taking it to another level where you make a covenant. And we talked about the word covenant and what that is. And it's, you're making a treaty, an alliance, like the weight of it is so much more than just kind of, we use the term contract in modern terms. And in a contract, there's always an out. There's always kind of an exit clause and an excuse for you to get out of the contract. But a covenant is so much deeper than that. And there's no out. There's no, well, I'll look at this if, right? There's none of that. It's like, this is who I am. This is the covenant that I made with my eyes before God that I'm not going to do this or I'm not going to go down that path. Because here's the deal. Like, man, if we're just honest and you look at the numbers, how many of you guys like your numbers people? You like numbers and statistics and research and all of that stuff. If you just look at the numbers, we're all doomed to become a statistic. Like, it's just that bad and it's so prevalent that we are all doomed to become a statistic unless we make a covenant with our eyes. And so that's why it's so important. So we're talking about that this week, kind of a continuation of that. The big part of this, or a big part of this, is appreciation. Because here's the deal. If you appreciate people, it causes you to do and to not do certain things, right? If you appreciate your relationship with God, and like that's what's so cool about, like, God is not a taskmaster. He's not, you know, vindictive and got a pot just waiting to smash you when you mess up. Like, that's not how the whole thing works. There's a respect and appreciation. It says it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. And so kind of the idea for us is once we appreciate him and what he's done for us, that causes us to do things for him, right? Because he died for us while we were still sinners, we can live for him while we're here on the earth, right? So that's kind of the whole idea. Appreciation it's so powerful, it's so potent, and it can create feelings inside of you to do things for other people that you wouldn't do otherwise, and to serve people and to go out of your way to make that relationship work. So that's why appreciation is so important. But here's the deal. This is kind of where the rubber meets the road. You'll never appreciate the real thing if you settle for a substitute. That's a good time for like an amen, piesta, or something like that, right? Piesta. You'll never appreciate the real thing if you settle for a substitute. And that can mean a lot of different things. That can mean in your relationship, say you're in a relationship, if you start looking elsewhere for a substitute, you won't appreciate the real thing. if you're in a relationship, or if you're just living life and you start looking at pornography or something along those lines, you're not going to appreciate the real. See, that's what happens so many times. Young, and I can't speak necessarily to young women with this, but I know young men, the struggle and the battle. The average age that a kid views pornography these days is 11, and I suspect it's probably getting younger and younger. And so these things start happening when you're young, and what happens is you start to formulate ideas of what's reality that's not really reality, so it affects you when you get married, and what you thought was real is not real. And so you won't appreciate the real thing if you settle for a substitute. And so that's why appreciation is so important. It's so there's so much weight to it. And so kind of along those lines, this whole idea of a covenant is not just like so that you protect yourself, although that's a huge part of it, but it's also something that benefits us. It's something that's not only defensive, but it's offensive. It's something that kind of helps us to be better in our relationships. It helps us to have a better perspective. It helps us to have more realistic expectations. Come on, somebody. Because so many princesses out there don't have realistic expectations, right? And if you're a princess, you just got upset. So what we're going to talk about today kind of are those three things that kind of go along with that. And it's about having an appreciation for the relationships that you have and kind of making sure that you appreciate what's appropriate in your relationships, appreciate the right perspective, and then appreciate expectations. So we'll kind of jump in with the relationships. One of the most common causes of issues in relationships is lack of appreciation. Have you ever seen a couple, and I'm like, why are you still married? Like, just get the axe and kill the man. Like, you hate his guts, right? I mean, not literally, maybe, you know? Because they've lost appreciation for the person that they're in a relationship with. And, it's so nasty, and nobody wants to see that. And I couldn't imagine living through that. And so I think what happens is along the way you start to settle for some substitutes that cause you to not appreciate the real thing. And every time I say that, I want to sing, you know, ain't nothing like the real thing. Right. But everybody's told me about a million times, I can't sing. And you know what? I don't care. So I will find a way to work that back in here in a little bit. So the ways this takes place is if you're in a relationship, this is so funny, because if we're just sitting here and we're having an honest conversation, every one of us, we all know this is a bad idea. But however, some way or another, it seems to play out in people's lives. Like, you know, you start talking to somebody at work and it's like you have this emotional connection because he gets me, right? But if we're all right here and we're in church and we're being honest, like, we know that's a bad idea. Because when you start emotionally connecting with somebody, then you're going to lack of appreciation for the real relationship that you're going to have a lack of appreciation for the real relationship that you're in. And this is what's so funny about that. Like, when you start talking to this person that gets you and they understand you because maybe we have shared experiences, do you know a substitute is usually a substitute for a reason? Because they ain't the real thing, right? We'll come back to that one in a minute. So you find this emotional connection with somebody who gets you, and then you start to compare the real thing to your substitute. But this is what you do. You compare the real thing to the highlight reels of a substitute, because they're only telling you what you want to hear, and they're only telling you the things that you think you need to know, right? You don't know. That's what's so funny about all of this is because, like, if you get down to the nitty-gritty, you're going to find out there's probably not much better about them than what it is that you're in. The problem is that all of your focus has been in the wrong place. Do you know that in football, of course, football is life, people. In football, if your starting quarterback, God bless the Cowboys, goes down. Just hear me out. If the starting quarterback goes down, sometimes the substitute, the backup will come in and you're like, man, this guy's pretty good. And then he plays a few more quarters, and you're like, you're a sub for a reason, right? There's a reason you're the backup, right? There's a reason you're not the real thing. You're not the real deal. You're a substitute, and you've been on 37 different NFL teams, even though there's only 32. Like, backups, they bounce around like that. They're subs. They're not the real deal. And if you settle for a substitute, you're going to find out it's a problem, right? Ask the Cowboys, Matt Castle, Brandon Whedon, name them, right? So the same thing is true in a relationship. Subs are usually subs for a reason. There's a reason that he's middle-aged and single and been in several failed relationships.
He's a sub for a reason, right? And this is not directed at anybody. So y'all, because I know like people pop in your head. Everybody gets, it's so funny how bent out of shape people get. It's like, how'd you know what I was going through? I had no idea, man. Other than that camera I've got on your life, no clue. But there's usually a reason that they're single, and they use their wisdom of failures to help you and kind of just, and it's not healthy. It's not smart. Don't set yourself up like that. If you appreciate the relationship that you're in, you won't do that to the person that you're in a relationship with. If you put the right amount, this is what's mind-boggling about this. If you put the same level of energy and effort into your relationship that you do into your substitute, you'd probably find success over here. You'd probably find that the real thing works. It just takes work sometimes. And this is what's so funny about substitutes. Substitutes are easy, right? It's easy to settle for a substitute. It's accessible to settle for a substitute. The real thing takes work. The real thing takes effort. But effort's always worth it. Effort is always worth it. And so there's this verse in Romans chapter 12, verse 9, that I think is just so fitting. And it says, don't just pretend to love others. Isn't that good? There's two other versions. It says, let love be sincere. And one other version says, let love be genuine. It says, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Don't just pretend to love them and settle for a substitute. Like, really love the real thing. Don't settle for the substitute, right? Like, don't pretend to love here and actually give love here. Hate what is evil and love what is good. And I think if we get that, if we adopt that mentality, you won't find yourself in these predicaments that people find themselves in. And this is something that, man, you know, we could sit in church and act like this doesn't affect us, and we would just be a bunch of liars, right? Because we all know people who are going through, you know, relational issues. You see people close to you, people probably maybe in your family. Most of us come from divorced families, and it all starts somewhere, right? There's something that triggers kind of the path that they're on. And so, man, this is not something that's not relevant to where it is that we live. And so I think if we just head it off, if we're proactive about it, if we appreciate, we find ourselves not in some of the situations. So another example of this is when it comes to pornography. And we've talked about this a lot the last few weeks, but it needs to be talked about a lot. Because, man, again, if you just look at the numbers, if you look at the statistics, probably 60, 70% of people in this room are struggling with it on some level. And I hope that's not the case, but if you, again, just raw numbers, right? So with pornography, it's the same thing. You're settling for a substitute. And what happens, this is what happens when you settle for a substitute kind of in that regard. You start to compare fantasy to reality, right? And I think, Ryan, you did such a fantastic job talking last week about how that's just a physical and it lacks the emotional and the spiritual. Obviously, it should, right? There's so much more to it than just the physical. And so you've got to understand and be able to distinguish between what's real and what's not real. What's a real thing and what's the substitute? What is fantasy and what is reality, right? And I think you won't appreciate the real thing properly and appropriately if you settle for a substitute. And so you guys, I mean, I think, again, this is probably one of those things we've all heard of or experienced or know of people around us that it's been in a relationship, and it never ends well. Like, it can't, because once you settle for a substitute to that degree and you start to allow those things into your life, like, there's no appreciation for the real thing, so one or the other will be bent out of shape. And so this is the way it goes down. You can either appreciate the real thing or you can appreciate the substitute, but I don't think you can appreciate them both at the same time. Because if you really appreciated the real thing, you wouldn't settle for the substitute, right? That's good. If you're in a relationship with a person and you appreciate them, you won't sub them out. And that's essentially what you're doing when you settle for pornography, is you're subbing them out. Like, you're allowing the backup to take the place of a starter, a real good quarterback, right? And you're letting God knows who come into your life, and you're going to find out that it never stacks up and it never measures up and it's never all that you thought it would be. Because this is, man, it over promises and under delivers every single time. You think that if you can get that fix, or if you can, you know, satisfy that physical or emotional need, that you'll be great, and that lasts for about 30 seconds and then you're empty again, right? But the real thing satisfies. The real thing brings this appreciation, that brings happiness or contentment and satisfaction. And so I think man, if we're just smart people. I know that you guys are an intelligent bunch, and I know that we can see this, right? That would be a good time to say, right. So, like I said, we spent a lot of time talking about porn the last few weeks, but I think it just bears repeating. It doesn't just affect you. It doesn't just affect you. And that's just a cop-out. That's a quick kind of defensive quip that you can use to get out of your little situation because you don't want to be called on it. And it's just garbage because it doesn't just affect you. How many things that you do just affect you? I can think of very few except for breathe, maybe. And I'm sure there's probably some kind of reproductive, you know, carbon monoxide back into the air that affects other people, right? Like everything that we do affects other people. And so what you do with respect to your sexuality and purity, it affects other people. It lacks, you know, the pornography lacks the emotional and the spiritual aspect. And so the big part of this that we fail to get is if we don't appreciate the person we're in a relationship with, we don't get to experience the reward of growing together and going through things together, right? There's none of that. Like, one of the things that I appreciate about my wife is that she puts up with me, right? That some of you men, you know, right? I've done some stupid things, and she's still there. And I appreciate that fact, and we grow together kind of through our experiences in life. But you never get to that point if you settle for a substitute, right? So that's the first one. Just appreciate your relationships. The second one is this. Appreciate your perspective. Because that's what happens when you settle for a substitute, you settle for something that's not real, is your perspective gets distorted. It gets all out of sorts. Have you guys ever been to a carnival and stood in front of a fun mirror? That's what it is. Like, you make some things bigger than they are and some things smaller than they are. It's like, and all the dudes, you know, you flexed in one of those fun mirrors and you're like, you... Right? It ain't real, right? For the most part. It's not real. It's a distortion of your perspective. What you see isn't reality. And so I think kind of with respect to substitutes and the real thing, you kind of start to get a distorted or skewed perspective when you settle for a substitute. You don't appreciate the real thing because your perspective is all out of sorts. And you'll always find, this is what we always do. And man, there's psychology that plays into this, which is really interesting. We always find a way to make what we have less than what it is and what we don't have more than what it is. Have you noticed that? Like, we make whatever it is that we have seem so, right? Insignificant, not that good. It's okay. But what we don't have is awesome. And I mean, just you can think materially. I mean, just think about your life and it's like, oh man, if I could just get that, oh, that'd be so legit. If I could live there, if I had that job or made that money or had that relationship, right? And it's like, what you don't have is so much better than what you do have, but is it really? And I think that all comes down to perspective. Like, if your perspective is right, then you appreciate what you have. Because if you don't appreciate what you don't have, you'll never appreciate what you think you're going to appreciate when you get it. Go buy a new car and see how long that lasts until the first payment. That's how long it lasts. And so our mind, like I said, our mind even jumps in on the action and plays tricks with us. There's this psychological term called impact bias. And impact bias, this is the definition. It's the tendency for people to overestimate the length or intensity of future feeling states. It's our tendency for our minds to say, man, if I just had that, if I were just at this point in my life, if I just had that relationship, I would be so happy. And then you get there and you're like, right? It didn't make you happy like you thought it would make. It's a substitute. It's not the real thing. And so I think having the right perspective, the proper perspective, helps you to appreciate things. And if you appreciate your perspective, then it's like reciprocal, right? They pay it forward to one another. So it really comes back to this idea of what you do affects other people. And so I think perspective plays into that. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 and 13 says this. And man, this is so good. Because Paul, I love the way he just kind of, have you ever used somebody's words against them? Win, right? For the win. There's nothing better than like, well, you said, and they're like, oh, you got me, right? So this is what Paul's doing. Like, they said some stuff, and so he's using what they said to kind of make sense of the way things really are. He says, I have the right to do anything, and that's what they say. You say, and then he says, but not everything is beneficial. And so kind of to start the conversation off, like, people are like, man, I can do whatever I want. And so Paul's like, you're right, you can do whatever you want, but not everything's good for you, right? Like, yeah, you absolutely, you could look at pornography if you wanted to, but it's not good for you. It's not beneficial. There's no value in it. It distorts your perspective. I think if Paul were alive today, that's exactly what he would have said. And then he says, kind of continuing that rhetoric, I guess, or the conversation, he's like, I have the right to do anything, is what they say. And then Paul says, but I will not be mastered by anything. He's like, look, you say that you can do whatever you want, but what I'm telling you is that I'm not going to let anything master me. I'm not going to let anything control me. And then they say, food for the stomach and stomach for food, and the stomach for food, and God will destroy them both. And so kind of the idea, what they're saying is like, man, we can do whatever we want, and it's all good. It's okay, right? It's kind of the world that we live in. We can do whatever we want. It's okay. Don't judge me, bro. And then he says, this is what's so cool, because it's cool that there's actually kind of the tone is sexual. He's talking about your bodies. And he's like, the body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And so this is what's really cool. What's interesting about this is like people had this idea a long, long time ago that they can do whatever they want. They can watch whatever they want. They can be in relationships with whoever they want. They can sleep around with whoever they want. Like, I mean, it sounds like, you know, the 2000s, back 2000 years ago, right? And he's like, you could do that if you wanted to. You could go down that path if you wanted to, but it's not good. It's not beneficial for you. There's no value in it. And I'm not gonna go there. I'm not gonna be mastered by that, because that's what sin always does. We've talked about this. Like, sin controls, it dominates your life. It takes you further than you wanted to go, costs you more than you wanted to pay, and keeps you longer than you wanted to stay. It has this domination on your life and in your life. It controls you. And the only way to break that is to not, for one, don't get into it, right? Don't get mixed up in stupidity. But the only way to break that is, like we talked about last week, is bring it to the light. Sin doesn't have power when it's in the light. It only has power when it's in the darkness. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, just a few verses later, this is what he says. And I think this is really important. It says, flee from sexual immorality. You know what it doesn't say? It doesn't say stand there and try to fight against it, right? Because how many times does that work? Oh, I'm gonna keep looking at this, you know, watch this movie, and you know, I'm gonna bounce my eyes, and I'm gonna turn my neck, and right? Or I'm gonna, you know, we're in a heated situation, me and my fiance, and I'm gonna fight the temptation. No, you need to flee the temptation. You need to run away from sexual, because you're not strong enough. Like, I don't know anybody that's strong enough all of the time to overcome all of the. Sometimes you just gotta be smart and you gotta get away from the situation. And so for some of us, that means turning off your TV at a certain time. It means shutting it down, turning off your computer, disabling your Wi-Fi, whatever you gotta do, man. Like, just be crazy with it. Do whatever you have to do to flee from sexual immorality. And then it says, all other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. And we'll talk about that for a second. But I think it's really interesting, and I think it's worth pointing out. You know the word where it says, another version says, whoever sins commits sexual immorality. You know the word sexual immorality? There are two Greek words that are kind of used for that, and it's porneia and porneiou. Porneia, the Greek word. This was written 2,000 years ago, and this is kind of the derivative of the word that we use for pornography, right? It's interesting that, hey, don't do that. Like, don't go down that path. Don't get caught up in that lifestyle, right? And so what's interesting, I guess another interesting aspect, it says whoever does that, whoever sins sexually, they sin against their own body. And I think sometimes if you look at that, you're like, well, what I do doesn't affect other people, because it says it only is a sin against me. But that's just garbage. Like, everything that happens in you happens to those around you. Have a bad day and see how it affects the people around you, right? Although it's just going on in your head, or like maybe you're a little discouraged, or whatever it is just affects you on the inside. It affects the people around you on the outside, right? Have a good day and you find the flip of that. You find the complete opposite of it. And so everything that happens to you or happens in you happens to those around you as well. It never just affects you. And I think kind of getting that perspective right is huge. So anyway, that's, isn't that good? Isn't that interesting? It seems so simple, and it seems like it's something that I think we could all probably understand, but for whatever reason, sometimes we just try to play dumb when it comes to sexuality. Like, oh, I didn't know I would end up in this situation.
Yes, you did. You kind of gave in to temptation and you valued the experience or the need for satisfaction over where it is that you really wanted to go and who it is that you really wanted to be. And so simply put, settling for a substitute, be it another person or pornography, it debilitates you from being able to appreciate the real thing. So that's the second one. Last one. Everybody say amen. Don't do that. It's rude. So appreciate your relationships, appreciate the right perspective. And the last one is to appreciate expectations, to have kind of appropriate expectations. Because so many relationships have unrealistic expectations. And you know all that does is create conflict. Because going into a relationship expecting this, this, and this to happen, and you go into a relationship and none of that happens, you're going to be like, oh, dang, right? Like, what did I sign up for? And it's just that so many people, especially people that kind of, you know, like, why are you getting married? Because I'm in love, right? And they can't tell you why they're getting married. When they get married, it's something to pay, right? It's interesting. And so that's why I think counseling is huge. I think we call it marriage education or enrichment, right? It's not counseling. You're not at a point where you're like, you need help, but it always helps to get better, right? How many careers have this process called continuing education? Like, you always get better at what it is that you do, and I think relationships are no different. So when you go into a relationship and you have these false expectations or unrealistic expectations, you're just going to be really disappointed, Cinderella. Or Prince Charming, because Cinderella doesn't exist either. And she runs too much anyway, so that's not really worth trying to. So that's the last aspect that we're going to look at, is how substitutes, they tarnish our expectations. You can't hold other people to unrealistic expectations. And I think it's a human tendency to expect other people to do things that we aren't willing to do ourselves. And it's not a good human tendency. And I think it's something that if you're aware, you try to overcome. But I think it's something that we kind of do maybe unintentionally. We hold people to standards that we ourselves aren't willing to live to and expectations that we wouldn't expect for ourselves, which is just not fair. And you start to compare fantasy, like, oh, this is what should happen in my head, to what's reality. What's really going to happen, right? Relationships aren't a fairy tale. There is no Prince Charming. There is no Cinderella. Relationships are work. This makes more sense to me than anything else. Maybe it'll help you. I think relationships are like a job that you really enjoy. Like, how many of you like going to work? A few of you. Okay, yeah. It's like a job that you really enjoy. Like, you like going to work, but it's still work, you know? And that's what a relationship, to me, in my opinion, is like. It's work. But you like your job. You like where you're going. Your work has purpose. It has value. And you understand that, man, you're working towards something way bigger and more important than just you. And so that's what I think relationships are. So these fantasies sometimes that we have, these expectations that aren't real, when we have those and you expect those from the people that you're in a relationship with, it's usually because you've allowed some kind of substitute to distort your realization or reality of what actually is a good expectation, right? Don't compare, this is what happens. Let me give you some examples. Don't compare your relationship to somebody else's relationship, right? Because here's the deal. Like, you're comparing yourself to their highlight reel. You only see them when they're in public holding hands and, like, kissing. Get a room, right? You only see them when they're at their best, and you only see what they want you to see. You only see their Instagram pictures where all of their kids are perfectly dressed, and like there's just happens to be a lens flare. Somehow they caught the sun at just the right time. Right? That's not reality. That's what they want you to see. So don't compare what you know and what you experience on a daily basis to what it is that other people put forward or present. Like, don't compare yourself to other people, because then you start to expect whoever it is that you're with, your real-ationship. You start to compare your relationship with a substitute. And odds are the substitute's not everything that you think it is. And you start to expect your husband to act like so-and-so. Well, he's not so-and-so, and you didn't marry so-and-so, so get your butt over it. Not that I'm upset about that or anything, right? And it's just not healthy, and it's not smart, and it's not a good place for us to be in our lives, to compare other people, our people to other people, our relationships to the substitute. It's not smart. Don't compare the person that you're in a relationship with. Just, my God, can we not do this? Stop comparing your relationship to some fantasy you see in a movie or read in a book. Right?
Like, it's just not real. And I know it seems, I could be wrong, it seems that sometimes women have this, you know, they create these fantastic romances in their head with Fabio, and that's what their life is going to be like. Right? It's not real. Have you ever noticed that the actors who portray those roles struggle with the real thing themselves? They're acting. They get paid to fake. They get paid to be a substitute and not the real thing. In fact, they get paid well to be substitutes because they're really good at faking. They're really good at acting. It's not the real thing. So don't ever compare the real thing to a fantasy, to what you see on the screens or in the movies, right? It's just, it's crazy that we do that. And for whatever reason, we do that as a society. Nobody here in this church, but other people elsewhere, right? The sexuality that's portrayed on screens or through pornography, it should be obvious to us that it's not real, right? It should be. But again, kind of the mind plays tricks on us. These people are actors. They're faking the real thing. And yet so many people, they buy into this ridiculous notion that their life could be like that. Their relationships could be like these fake-ationships. Best I could come up with. And this is what I think. I think that the key to appreciating the person that you're in a relationship with, I think it's the key to not putting these unrealistic expectations on them is to having a covenant with your eyes. Like, we've kind of come full circle. Because here's the deal. If you never look at anything that you shouldn't look at, what are you going to compare them to? If you don't look at people with the wrong perspective, or you don't look at other relationships with the wrong perspective, you don't have anybody to compare your relationship to. And you don't have any false standard to hold them to, and you don't have any false expectations to expect from them, because you've made a covenant with your eyes not to look at that garbage, or not to go down that path, or not allow those thoughts to dwell or be dwelled upon in your head. And so it's just important, again, kind of coming full circle, it starts with having a covenant with our eyes. And if we do that, we can appreciate the relationships that we're in a little bit more. We can appreciate the right perspective and how important that is for our lives a little bit more. And we can appreciate the people around us enough to not put just these ridiculous expectations on them. Like, they're not Jesus. They're not perfect. Don't expect them to be, right? And they're not, you know, some fantastic model that you've seen created that's not even real. None of that stuff's even real. Like, you've seen the images that have been photoshopped 3 million times to give you what is perfect, and what's perfect is fake, right? So don't settle for a substitute. Settle for the real thing. And I think it's kind of interesting. This is how we'll wrap this thing up today, because I like to eat, right? And it's always been a blessing and a curse being where we're at. I like our location. I like where we are. But we're right next to Posado's, and right at noon, the fajita smell starts rolling in, and you guys start looking at me like with a stank eye. Right? Like, so I've seen somebody with a knife and a fork, and they're like, come on, bro. But what's really interesting, what's really cool about covenants is, if you go back to the Old Testament, I was just kind of reading through a story about Jacob, and he was making a covenant with his father-in-law. And so they made a covenant, they kind of agreed they're not going to fight each other, which is good. It's kind of interesting. Him and his father-in-law were like, hey, we're not going to kill each other. Happy Thanksgiving, right? So they made this covenant, but to celebrate the covenant, you know what they did? They had a feast. Like, and that's how it was called, a covenant feast, and that's how they celebrated the covenant, was with food. And so I thought, what a perfect way for us today to wrap this thing up is, as we talk about a covenant, and as hopefully you're willing to make a covenant with your eyes, we're going to celebrate the covenant with a feast. Amen? Let me pray for us. Father, we love you so much. God, we're so thankful for the truth of your word, God, that we can live by it. It's a standard that we can use as a foundation for our life. God, we don't have to wonder, and we don't have to guess at where it is that we need to be, and what it is that we need to hold dear, God, but you've made it really clear the things that matter, God. And with respect to purity, God, I pray that you would just help us to value purity more than it's valued in the world around us. God, I pray that you would help us to appreciate the people around us enough to not settle for a substitute, to not settle for things that create false perspectives or false expectations. But God, we would sincerely love them. We would genuinely love them, God. We would let our love for them be real, God, that we would hate what is not real, and we would love what is real. God, I pray that as we leave this place, God, these aren't just things that we talked about at church,
These are things that we implement into our lives, God, things that we carry with us wherever we go, whatever we watch, whoever we're around, God, that these are things that we'll use as a guide to determine what's appropriate for our lives. Jesus, we love you, and it's in your awesome name we pray. And everybody said, amen.